Hey everybody, it's Chuck. Welcome back. Well, we are on FSD version 13.2.8 still, but we got a new software build. This is 2025.2.8. So they finally brought us up to the 2025 branch. And if you go to the release notes, this has a software specific update for the Cybertruck for the wiper wash. Pressing and holding the wiper button now dispenses additional fluid after the second cycle, helping clean stubborn contaminants more effectively. So we'll give that a go here in a few minutes, maybe not right here at the start. Some other things were buried in a little bit further back though. On the 2025.2, there's some third party fast conditioner for pre-charging, and probably something we could use here. Shift into reverse, a warning sign. So let's go to control safety rear cross chime. So if you go to controls and then safety and then rear cross traffic chime, it was already on. So I didn't turn that on specifically, but I guess it defaulted on this version. And the other thing I'll mention was there was another one that was pretty good that I'll probably, let me see here. Scrolling here, I'm trying to scroll here. Wiper wash, nothing changed in the FSD. Camera visibility is there. Oh, there was a maintenance one in here. Maintenance summary. This feature provides a log when common service items were last performed. So that's under controls, service, maintenance. So if we come under here, service and maintenance, I guess nothing is there yet. And let me put myself in park maybe. Is that the reason? Yeah, that was it. So maintenance, so you come in here, wiper blade replacement. So it looks like, wow, it already wants me to do one there. And if I go there, so it looks like that's an annual. So because this car was purchased back in March, it wants me to do it now. Tire rotation, it knows when I did it there, so I'm good. That's a nice little page. I like that. You know, Teslas need so little maintenance. This is a good thing to have for customers. To actually know what's going on. Well, let's get out and do a first impressions drive. Without much changing, I don't expect a whole lot here, but we'll do our normal drive because it's a new software version. So here we are on the curb again, like we like to do, and no problems for the Cybertruck. Once again, pulling off the curb. The Model Y still won't do that for some reason. Not exactly sure why, what it is about the Model Y that doesn't like that Vision Park Assist yellow and orange to pull away from the curb, but it doesn't. All right, we'll start with our unprotected left turn. I'll comment that it's Sunday morning, and Sunday morning at 8:21 in the morning, we're probably not gonna get anything complex here, but we'll, there's our NHTSA stop, so that's still there. Let's see if we get a good, nice creep. Clear to the left and to the right for a roller. Definitely no question mark. With a smooth, oh gosh, we still had that little steering wheel adjustment there for the radius of turn. So the radius of turn, unfortunately, still is not perfect there. Looking for our U-turn. Oh, it's not doing our U-turn there. So let me go ahead and edit this. Pay attention to the road, truck. I do want to go to FSD South. Done, there we go. See if it'll get our U-turn in there quickly. There we go. So the question mark is gone. I have not seen it in a while. There's a standard wipe. Okay, U-turn here, forward facing. Wow, nice roller. Still slower than the Model Y, but I'm not going to complain. That was a good U-turn. It felt confident. Obviously, there was no traffic, so it didn't have to choose a gap. But that U-turn was solid. Nice, I like that. So let's go ahead and do the wiper test now. So I'm gonna go ahead and press the wiper. There's one. I'm gonna let go. Is it gonna do any more? Did I do it right? What the software release note say? Was I supposed to hold it longer? Pressing and holding now dispenses additional fluid after the second cycle. So maybe I need to do, let's see. There's one, two, three. Ah, see that? Oh yeah. So after it does two wipes, they all just stream instead of give little squirts. So that is definitely there. Probably much needed for those up north with the snow and the salt. Down south here, I guess it's just pollen this time of year is our biggest issue. But that's a nice improvement. Wes, the lead engineer on Cybertruck had kind of alluded that that was coming, and it was good to see that that finally got out. So this 2025.2.8 jump without any change to FSD is a little bit of a stumper for me, but some other things have happened that kind of might tie into this. You know, they've been working for a while now on the harmonization of hardware 3 and harmonization of hardware 4 onto the same build number, right? So we were stuck on the 2024.44. Branch for a long time, and they got the Cybertruck and the AI4 and the hardware 3 vehicles all on the same build number. The FSD version numbers were different. The Cybertruck and the AI4 were on, and still are, FSD 13.2.8, and the Hardware 4 is on 12.6.4. But they also released FSD in China since we've last tested this, and I think this software version went out to them also. And I think getting everybody up on the 2025 branch with all the little bug fixes was a harmonization strategy. Okay, there's our stop. We need a little bit of a creep here. Good clear. We have a car up. Very slow creep there at the last second. Here's our rear view cameras for the curb usage. Kind of see my wheels are nice and they're on the edge. No issues with these vehicles. I mean, it's got 3 to 6 inches or something on the right. And no issues there. I'm very proud of that narrow roads performance. So the one thing I do want to say is that this is the first time that my AI4, and let me just caveat, my 2024 AI4 Model Y, I do not have the new Juniper Model Y, that's different, that's just now being sold now, but my AI4 Model Y did not get this build at the same time as the Cybertruck, and that's the first time in like 3 or 4 builds that there haven't been a simultaneous release to both of my cars. So obviously, you know, if you want to be a little bit of a conspiracy theorist and say, wonder what's going on, there's two theories. There's another build coming to my Model Y on the AI4 branch that maybe is ahead of this one, or I'm just down on the list and they're doing a wide distribution, not an early access distribution, and my car just didn't make the first wave. That may be the most logical explanation, is my car just didn't make the first wave and this is not an early access release. I know that they specifically target early access cars when it's an early access release with VIN numbers, and maybe their deployment strategy is just different when it's basically a wider release. Okay, here is our unprotected center turn lane turn. There's our NHTSA stop, and it's rolling, and it's going to do it just fine. We do have an opposing car here that kind of has to do a fleur-de-lis with, but it did a little bit slower of a turn because of that car, but that was very smooth. So nice job on that turn. No issues there. That was good. I have seen the ADAS drivers out driving recently. I've seen the Hardware 4 Model 3. I saw a Model X recently. I haven't seen many Model Ys unless they change vehicles and I'm not recognizing them. Cybertruck was like last week. So they're out here validating, and I'm guessing this is what they're validating, is this build number and not a new FSD number. It's the only thing I can think about. But the fact that we have so many upcoming features that just have not made it into the 13 branch is a little bit frustrating, but it just shows that there was obviously some sort of decision and focus to harmonize the branches and then take maybe the next step forward, you know. But here we are again a couple weeks later, and you know, we're that much closer. Oh, where are we going? Oh shucks. Here I am chit-chatting. So here we go. This is going to be a little bit dynamic. I'm not deleting my points. Okay, so I gave it a destination that I didn't delete, and it pulled into a parking lot, and now we're at a McDonald's parking lot. This is fun. Believe it or not, the McDonald's wasn't the destination. It was the car wash over to the right that I don't use anymore. We have a little bit of a cone situation here in the road. I don't know if you can see that Ooh, is it going to go around? Did you see that in the bumper camera? Oh, this is a fail. Okay, it's going on the wrong side of the road here. So that was a disengagement. Used the wrong side of the road. It was a parking lot failure, so I'm not out here in a road, but you see how there's this divided median here? And for turning right, you've got to get over here to the stop sign. There's no doubt that that cone with a pothole in the middle of the parking lot gave it a little bit of a loop, but the median baited the vision system into going on the wrong side of the road. And when I say baited, I use that term very specifically. Let me make some analogies here, because that was a very fascinating incident. Think about that hard about what you just saw. Navigation changed dynamically, which could happen in traffic scenarios, but I created that scenario by accident. It went into the McDonald's parking lot instead of the Gate Express car wash, which was a little bit of a parking lot error. But then when coming out of the McDonald's parking lot, it had a cone in a pothole in the middle of the road, basically. So it either had to go left of the cone or right of the cone. I would have probably gone right of the cone because I knew I needed to get on the right side of the median to take a right. And it had it mapped correctly. But the vision system chose the left side of the cone. And as it chose the left side of the cone, then it saw this median right in front of it that baited the vision system into taking the wrong side of the road to exit the parking lot. There was plenty of room to take the right side of the road, but that median created this scenario where the neural network said, I know where I'm going, I gotta honor that median. So that was a fascinating little incident that just shows how the inputs into the network create outputs that sometimes are not always what we expect. And we are getting so deep in these language models as an analogy with ChatGPT, and we're learning so much about how Grok, you know, is getting so good. But if you change the prompt just a little bit, you get this completely different output. Maybe it's more concise. Maybe it's in a different language. Maybe it's in a different tone, like Unhinged on Grok, right? And there was actually even a new paper that came out recently from Zoom Communications, yeah, the video chat company, that talked about getting better performance out of existing models using a new, they coined it, chain of draft versus chain of thinking logic by, in the prompt, being very specific about how it should think and how many words it should use in order to reduce the number of tokens and make the response time quicker, which is cheaper in both time and in a cost for the models. So I guess what I mentioned that whole prompt engineering paper to say that median was a prompt to the end-to-end neural network for the system in order to make a decision about how it was going to behave. And it presented itself in just the way that it got taken down this path instead of the right path. This is one of those scenarios where it just really makes me wonder how far we have to go, which is undetermined. I'm not saying it's a long time or a short amount of time. It could be long, because the probabilistic nature of these solutions for driving, with the infinite number of possibilities and scenarios that can be presented, is non-deterministic. The developers cannot say what it will do unless they see a video of it doing something and go, oh, we need to figure out how to train it to not do that. Unless they're going to create a security layer on top that is rewritten back in the hard code to give it rules again, to say, you know, go back to stop signs and the stop sign needs to be right here and you need to stop. I don't know. But that little scenario right there just makes me think about all of these things that are going on and how we can get different responses. And those of you that are experts in this field may be thinking I'm just, you know, some cracker out here talking about, you know, language models without all the right words in the right context. And you may be right, but I'm seeing a lot of parallels sometimes with inputs and outputs and how a little change to the input can create such a dynamic change to the output. And the driving model is just something that fascinates me, because the world is a continuous set of changing prompts for this neural network and, you know, however they're layered together. Anyway, let me know what you guys think about that. I may separate that as just a little clip because it was a little bit of an unexpected behavior, but maybe kind of an insight into where we are. Okay, jumping on the highway here to change gears just a little bit. The smoothness feels the same. 13.28, it's been a good build once I get out on the road. And once I say get out on the road, that's specifically what I mean. I mean, like, I feel like the beginning and the end of the drives and the dynamic situations with traffic and parking and lane selection right there at the end, beginning and ends, are where I see most of the issues. I don't even want to say that median issue we saw just a few minutes ago was a lane selection issue. I think it was created by an obstacle, and the path it chose was just like the easiest path versus the correct path, if that makes sense. Back to the scenario that we've talked about so many times, that, you know, if this truck or the Model Y is out here driving with no other vehicles and didn't have to worry about any obstacles, it's perfectly safe. You know, if I didn't have to worry about traffic or laws or anything, I'd be able to get from point A to point B no problem on this software stack right now. The end game is about dealing with the world and with the laws, so that we're not breaking the laws and or hurting anyone or ourselves. I'm in standard mode, and I've been leaving it in that mode pretty much the entire time. I have had some folks give me some comments on chill and how chill might solve some of the why it gets in the left lane. I don't want to force it into chill in order to get it into the right lane. I know chill will do that, and it'll go really slow. I kind of want the standard profile to be my benchmark for this driving. If you put it in hurry, there's no doubt it's going to get in the left lane and do the best it can. If you put it in chill, there's no doubt it will tend to be in the right lane more and allow more slowdowns. So we're getting in the right lane for our exit, and it's creating a simultaneous kind of a merge here with this truck, but it looks like we have a little bit of a speed differential that's going to allow us to get ahead of them, even though we should be staying in this lane. Continuing to edit my trip for you guys so I don't pay attention to the road, Chuck. I guess I need to do a pay attention test again. All right, let's do that. One potato, two potato, three potato. I'm looking at the screen. Four potato, five potato, six potato, seven potato, eight potato. Okay, eight potatoes that time, and I got a direct pay attention to the road. And now I'm going to pull my phone out, obviously. One potato, two potato, three potato, four potato, five potato, six potato, seven potato. Okay, seven or eight potatoes both times. Now I've got two hands, so I can't make that happen anymore, or I'll get a strike on this drive. I've been able to drive without any strikes, pretty much without question. The warning system is adequate for me, that I don't need to do any resets or anything like that, because I get one or two warnings and I kind of go into the penalty box and treat it as such. All right, we've got almost a direct sun now coming into that front right camera, front camera from the right. Not having any issues now. I wish I could show you the actual visibility from the camera screen while we're driving, but that only works in park. Yeah, smooth sailing here in the center lane. Cars are passing me on both sides, so this might be a scenario where it needs to tend to kind of get over to the right, but I'm okay with this location. It's going 10 over in standard, which is still kind of keeping with the flow of the traffic. Lane centering seems to be fine. The vehicles will follow a lead car, though. Scott Walker and I had a conversation yesterday on a separate subject, and we talked a little bit about lead cars and stuff like that, and he's seen it also. You know, if you have a lead car and that lead car starts to go off of the road surface or perhaps cuts the corner on a lane exit, the Tesla will follow that lead car into that kind of crossing the line scenario, and I'm not sure if that's an emergent behavior or if that's an intended behavior, or is that because, well, what if that car is going around a board in the road, you know, you kind of need to take a clue from the cars in front of you to go around something, right? When you can't see it yet. There's a lot of reasons why you might want to do that in some situations, but not others. Don't know how to solve it, and maybe there isn't a right answer, but obviously just a conversation topic. I was talking a little bit about the ADAS drivers that I've seen this last few weeks. I was able to go out and watch one of the Model 3s do my unprotected left turn visually. And he did a pronounced question mark. And that question mark on my unprotected left-hand turn, since it's disappeared, and I definitely saw his hands on the steering wheel. So I think he was doing it manually and not letting FSD drive it. I think they're having to put the question mark into the turn with examples, because I think this model has taken the question mark out of my turn through an emergent behavior. And I've used the term emergent a couple times, meaning like, I don't think they specifically trained to do it, and it ended up not doing it because of the data set not having a lot of examples of question marks. The Cybertruck and the Model Y now have this behavior when it crosses the road. If it finds the gap that it's going to cross and go to the median on, and then there are cars coming from the right, it starts slow rolling into the median without getting in the question mark maneuver, leaving the tail of the car in oncoming traffic if it misjudged the amount of time that it expects to be able to join the right side of the road, if that makes sense. So it's almost like it jumped out into the road knowing it was going to slow roll it because the cars from the right were going to be gone soon, and then it was going to be able to continue. But in scenarios that developed where additional cars came from the right, it had to continue to slow roll longer than I think it was initially expecting. And that leaves the car inside of the lane of traffic for oncoming cars. I hope I described that well enough, but I've seen it before. It's not comfortable because you don't have a good bailout scenario to be safe in some situations. So I don't think that needs to be the end solution. I think they either need to just sit there and wait, or they need to put the question mark back, or something else. I don't think you can hang out in the oncoming traffic and hope for the best. It's just not what I would do. And I don't know how to fix it other than just saying more data, more data, more data. Wow. Some of these cars are really going fast. All right. Well, that was our highway section. We're jumping off the highway, and that was pretty straightforward. Not really much to say there. Standard mode and low traffic did just fine. Hey, everybody, it's Chuck. Sorry for the interruption. I just want to share with you a product and accessory that MagBack sent me to mount our phones up to our monitors in the Cybertruck, like we're in now, or even the Model Y also. Model 3 would work the same because they use the same exact screen. It's MagBack wireless charger. They also sent me a nice-looking case in this nice-looking accessory thing. The case, and you can change the colors. It's got a little finger grab on here, a little kickstand for holding it up, like if you're on an airplane. It's even got a little plastic rubber cover for the USB-C port at the bottom. The case is nice. Primarily what I wanted to show you was this wireless charger. They have one for the Cybertruck, and they also have a separate one for the Model Y. I'll show you a quick picture of this one installed. But in the Cybertruck, it's the exact same charger with a tiny little plastic accessory just to make the molding on the back of the monitor work just right. It comes with a long cable because they want you to run it to the back here. And this, because of the long cable it needs, they sent you this nice, cool USB-C extension cord just to make it a little bit longer. And the end cord has got a nice 90 degree on it. So let me show you what it looks like installed and a little bit of how the wire runs. Okay, now I've got you set up inside looking at the monitor. I've got a tilt screen monitor, as you guys know from my previous things, but you just basically pull off this little piece of 3M tape and you stick this right on there and kind of give it a little bit of a press. Let that 3M tape stick. and you just run the wire down and underneath and into the back. But in this MagBat case, it's a nice, it sticks right there. And there's the charging, nice fine. It's nice and tight, but that's where the MagBat fits on the Cybertruck. I think it looks pretty good. What do you guys think? Anyway, I have a discount code for these guys. It's a pretty good accessory, and I love being able to charge at the same time without using these chargers down on the bottom that, for me, overheat a little bit. So check it out in the description, and let me know what you think. Gonna be taking a right turn here. It's probably gonna be a right on Red, and then heading over to Memorial Park. All right, it's still a right on Red. Okay, they got a green, so now we got to wait. You know, I haven't seen it happen personally. There's our nice right on Red. But I have heard a lot of people talking about this version of FSD and the previous ones a little bit preemptively going ahead of the red light based off of some other input that it expects the light to turn. And that's another one of those behaviors that I don't think they would have intentionally trained for. So I think it must be some sort of emergent behavior somehow, that the car started learning. But in some scenarios, I've seen videos of it just flat out running red lights after it was already stopped at the red light because of a light change that it expected. Or seem to expect based off of other sequences of lights or pedestrian crosswalks or something else that it saw. You know, I've personally seen the situation where, you know, it ran through a red light it didn't see because it was an awkward angle and it didn't get a glimpse of the red until too late and it just YOLO'd it and said, I'm going for it. But not a stop at a red light that is very obvious. And then a sequence of events from other lights going green and then going through the red as if the light was red or the light was green again. So that's where I'm stumped. And another one of those, I don't want to say scary, but emergent scenarios that comes out of the data that has to be solved before we deploy any sort of unsupervised solution, because or every time we deploy a new version, let's say we go unsupervised and then we go from 14.1 unsupervised in Austin in June and we go to 14.3. Well, if they've added a whole bunch more data clips, it doesn't seem like they're very certain every time they make a build that everything in the past is still working. This emergent kind of unexpected results is just a part of this probabilistic solution, it seems like. And I, you know, you just can't do a global QA cycle every release. This stumps me a little bit. You know, right now we're obviously doing, you know, some ADAS driver testing, definitely some user-based monitoring with all of us out here. Taking a left into our Memorial Park turn here, and we'll go into our parking scenario. But I don't know, what do you guys think about that? To me, some of these things that are creeping into the behaviors that are obviously not a behavior you would ever train for, it just makes it feel like every update is suspect with this solution, unless there's another solution somehow that I'm not aware of to prevent this. Okay, so here's our chain test. I'm going to do it with the Cybertruck just because you guys seem to like this. It's a painful test. Because we know it's not going to pass. It can't see the chain. It can see the bollards. Give you guys a nice little peek here. It's going to try to park in that spot right through the chain. Looks like the road's been scraped here too. So we got a new road. And it's going to... Okay. It was going to do it. We all know it would. It can't see chains. Especially skinny chains. So that's just where we're at. Okay, so let me get our cul-de-sac in there next to show you guys radius of turn, and one day we'll see reverse, but we don't have reverse yet. Okay, here we go. So this is, once again, going a little bit slower than it needs to, but it's fine for this road. I think I say that every single time. A blinker on an unnecessary turn. I don't know. Does the blinker always come on there? Do you guys remember that? I don't think it does. Definitely some bumps here. Going over the manholes with a scraped road, the manholes are definitely raised. Definitely doesn't see them either. So there's not any sort of obstacle being put on the road with the manhole covers. Okay, got a pedestrian coming. Stop, and he's going to go. He waved. That was nice. So it did good pedestrian behavior there. We haven't encountered very many times. And now we're rolling and proceeding to the cul-de-sac. That was good. I really like that VRU behavior. It didn't kind of assert itself. It saw him and waited behind the line. Ooh, God, you see that adjustment? Another very bad lane radius of turn adjustment there. I used to see those a little bit. Okay, look at that. I got a critical on that, a pedestrian. You're driving. So that was interesting that it gave a critical on him. I haven't seen that very many times. I mean, he wasn't actually in the crosswalk, but it gave a critical warning while it was driving. It behaved fine, and the red went away with its own braking curve. I didn't touch anything. Okay, coming down to the end of the cul-de-sac, we have another vehicle down here doing a little bit of a U-turn. It'll be interesting to see if that creates a different scenario. It's probably going to pull over and park and just kind of stop it. Let's see, what's it going to do? Okay, no, it's starting a radius of turn. Oh, look at it. It's doing its I wish I could reverse trick again. See that? It kind of wants to park, but it's like, Dad didn't give me that skill yet. So we can't do that yet. So we're going to go ahead and edit the trip. And we're going to go ahead and hit done. And you're still engaged. So are you going to be able to do it? No, you're not. So you got your right blinker on. I'm going to tap the accelerator. What are you going to do? Okay, radius of turn. Get yourself out of here. You might hit the curb on this one. There's your front bumper. Okay. Is it going to do it? Is it going to jump the curb? I don't think it will. What's it showing here? Does it show it wants to reverse? No, it's still in drive. No reverse there. It's stuck. Okay. I'm going to press the accelerator and let's see what happens here. Can I make it curb? Will it curb if I press the accelerator? Yep. It's going to let me curb it. So I've got to hit reverse here. And I'm just going to press it from there and give you a better head start. What do you think? Oh, come on. You can do it now. Look at your indecision. Your little FSD brain is confused. Come on. So this is basically an input prompt. This is like I just cleared the context window. I'm giving it a new prompt, and it really doesn't know its world yet. That's kind of what I feel like I'm in right now. You know when you start a new chat on Cursor or in ChatGPT or Grok, and now I've got a biker here who's giving some signals and pedestrians over here to the right. So it's just kind of in this, you didn't give me enough context to understand what you want me to do. So I'm going to give it some more context with an accelerator press. And now it says, oh, I guess I know what you want to do, and it's going to go. See what I mean? It's all, I don't want to say it's the same, but these neural networks is garbage in, garbage out. And you've got to get the right context in order to get the right output. Otherwise, you're just going to get some unexpected results. You know, I wonder what the equivalent of a hallucination is for a driving model. Oh, look at that. It gave right away to a car turning. Okay, it's because we were turning. Yeah, I changed up the route a little bit here because that 5 points thing. Oh, look at this. I got a road closed. Totally didn't know that was going to happen. All right, so, and you see the path is going straight ahead. So our model is not using the feature that says, oh, look at you. Oh, look at you breaking the law. Okay, I let that go a long way just to show you that it was actually going to do it. And I cannot believe that it did that. You just went around a road clothesline, went on the wrong side of the lane, and because it was low traffic, I let you do it. That was bad. All right, so... and you know, look, we're going to go back and we're going to talk about this a little bit because I want you to read, yeah, pay attention to the road, Chuck. We're going to go read this release note right here. And I've got to get the screen up so you guys can see it. I'm going to get yelled at again. Okay, we are turning left here. I want you to read right that last bullet right above upcoming improvements. It says, dynamic routing around road closures, which displays them along an affected route when they are detected by the fleet. Now, was that road closure not detected by the fleet? I don't know. And if it wasn't, then that's okay because that feature, okay, I'm gonna give you another chance. Road closed, local residents only. Okay, so it's doing it twice and it says road closed. Maybe this is a great reason to do Sunday morning drives is because I can kind of, you know, let it demonstrate that it's confused a little bit. And that map is working hard to fight that road close sign. And look, is it going to do it again? I'm not going to keep doing this. I'm not going to let it take another left with the road closed. But this goes back into the reading, right? You got to be able to recognize road closed. And it's got another blinker on, and it wants to go left, and it's going to do it again. Okay, we're disengaging there. Road's closed. I know you guys are screaming at me to do these voice notes. I just got a couple in here. Let me get another snapshot, and it's going to do it again. So we're going to get lots of voice notes. Look at it. All right, there's another failure. Road closed. Who could have predicted this one? I had no idea this was going to happen when I changed the route. And now it's finally giving up, even though I don't know why it gave up. I guess it just said, well, let's just go to the stop sign now. But I don't know. I know we've seen road. It doesn't read. It doesn't understand. It went around that sign as if it was a UPS truck. You know, it just went around it like it was a traffic cone with a lane blocked. It did not see road closed. And every single one of those signs said road closed. One of them said residents only, or a couple of them. But my point is that was a completely closed road. I don't know how you solve that until you get a model that can read, unless you're just going to identify every possible scenario. Or we get back to our conversation about crowdsourcing, right? We've got to have better data on dynamic closures like that. Now, that bullet I showed you in the release notes was pretty specific, you know, about detected by the fleet. Now we're back on the road that is closed here to the left, so we're kind of skipping it on the right now. But what does detected by the fleet even mean at this stage? Because I am 100% certain that this Cybertruck did not detect that road closed. So did I add data to the fleet right now or not? And how is the fleet detecting those road closures to even make that bullet relevant? Is it getting lucky sometimes? Or are the Model Ys out there collecting all the data because they're the only ones that can do it? Or is it something else that we don't even understand? Because I don't know. That was pretty sad, though. And it wasn't sad because it was a behavior that broke in this version. That could have been there the whole time. I just have never had that scenario on this drive to where I was able to demonstrate its current behavior over and over and over again of what it was going to do. What do you guys think about that? You're probably going to tell me to keep that route on, you know, go do another test in the Model Y is what you're all saying. That probably isn't going to happen today. I got to go to work tomorrow. Oh yeah, since I do have to go to work tomorrow, maybe there's going to be a new software update. I'm doing a 5-day trip. Where am I going? I think I'm going to Palm Beach, back to Boston. I think I'm in Denver.
not leaving the country, meaning I'm not going to the Caribbean or South Central America or anything like that. So anyway, I tell you, every single one of these drives is different. I'm fascinated by it. I'm not frustrated by it. I'm fascinated by how this stuff happens. I'm just glad to be here. Meaning, like, this is my thing. I love this type of problem solving. And I wish I was one of the people helping the team, honestly, and maybe in some small way I am. But it's like a puzzle with a missing piece. And you're not sure the piece is actually missing yet, but you're just going to keep solving it until you're certain you know what the issue is. And then when the issue is found, you fix it. You go make another puzzle piece, or you finish the puzzle with one piece missing and you figure out a workaround. Okay, coming up here. Oh, got to edit my trip again. Look at me yapping at you guys like I'm in a road taxi. Okay, I changed your route. Okay, it turned a blinker on for parking at the previous destination. That's what that blinker was. It was probably going to pull over in these angled spots. I know the Model Y just kind of sloppily pulls over. The Cybertruck would probably do something similar. And we got a couple pedestrians here. The light's red. They're crossing. Okay, it's green now, and we're waiting. So, okay, I did some waves in them. They had a couple little kids that did the old dad look at Cybertruck kind of look over there. I could have stopped even though the light went green to let them cross, but because they had not entered the crosswalk, the Cybertruck decided to wait on them. Not wait on them, excuse me. All right, coming up on the S-turns. And then we're doing our small little Jacksonville-style traffic circles. Yeah, we're pretty much home free unless we get an unexpected lane selection or another radius to turn issue here. I really hope that the Model Y gets another version. I'm ready for another point release or... I don't know, guys. We're getting close to June. And unless there's some crazy secret sauce in the cyber cab, they've just got to constrain and overtrain in a certain area to do that demo in June for the shareholders meeting. That's the only thing I can think of. We just don't have the time to get from where we are to where they need to be if this is the software they're going to be using. If they've got some other sauce in there that's programmed for the cyber cab that doesn't have a steering wheel and all that, and I have no way of estimating that. But the cyber cab, Joe Tegmeyer caught one with a steering wheel in it. And I know you guys, you know, probably watched Joe Tegmeyer's video also. And we had a little bit of a debate on whether or not that was the cheaper model car. I personally think that cyber cab has to have a steering wheel in order to do validation testing in the real world. You know, I just don't think they can... Unless they're doing like a teleoperated chase car acting as a driver kind of a scenario, I think you'd have to have a safety driver in a car with a steering wheel to get the vehicle's cameras and the model and everything right in the cyber cab. Just because you can't, we're watching it right now. You just can't program the real world for another vehicle type based on the previous work on other cars. It just doesn't seem to be valid. It's got to get out and drive. And if they're going to drive the world in the cyber cab and collect that camera data from those lower angles and the camera positions and everything on the cyber cab, then the steering wheel makes sense to me for a dev car, a test car, the 8S drivers, you know. And after I saw that steering wheel, the first thing that came to mind was, you know what, I might finally get to see a cyber cab on my turn because they have a way of driving it, you know, in a new location. Even if it's mostly unsupervised, at least there can be a driver in there to get some data. But I don't know. Maybe you guys completely disagree with me and think, no, that's the cheaper car that we're going to release in the second half. I have no idea. I don't think Tesla would sell a two-seater. I just don't think the market demographic wants that. I think we've kind of grown into the small four-seater is the best use case. For small cars. Now in Europe and places like that where they love tiny cars, it absolutely could probably work fine. But in the United States, I don't know. We've kind of supersized everything.
not all for the better, but it's just kind of the reality. So one more left here. I don't think we're going to get anything dynamic on this turn. We might get another crazy radius at turn, but because we've got a lead car, it might follow it on the round the radius. I don't know why they can't fix that radius at turn. To me, it's got to be four-wheel steering or something. Something is confusing it, and it's taking a trajectory for the Model Y, and the Cybertruck has to continually adjust it. Or its starting point is not in the right spot or something like that. And, that one felt close. Like it might've clipped the curb a little bit. I don't think it did, but I definitely think it ran over the yellow line, and hit a reflector right there on that corner, but it didn't adjust at that time. So I don't know. So here we are, we're wrapping up a unexpected first impressions drive on 13.28, but we're on build 2025.2.8. Brought us some maintenance issues. I like the maintenance menu. The extra camera wiper fluid after two cycles is a much needed improvement. Probably a little too late for the guys in the north, up in the snow and salt weather, but at least it came. That was a good demonstration of Tesla's ability to adapt to the changing needs of the vehicle owners from the original design. We didn't get any sort of rear chime warnings, even though that was turned on, but that's a good behavior. To me, that's more of maybe a Costco parking lot backup scenario, you know, because we have shown that this rear view camera here is cropped, right? So here you can see the edge of this car and that this is a cropped version of the actual camera visibility. And we've shown that in other videos, mostly on the front bumper camera. But if you go to the, when you're in park, if you go to the service menu, there's a camera visibility that you can see the full angle of what the camera can see, even including a little bit of the camera housing and some areas that do need to be cropped out. So I'm hoping that rear view visibility is using the full camera 180, not the cropped version that we have here. While we're here in park, I'll just go to service, and this camera visibility, no, it's not camera visibility, it's camera preview right there. And when you're in park, that actually is available and you can see all of the cameras. If I do very quickly go into park, what happens? See how camera preview is available here and live stream is not saved or transmitted, and I got to go into drive now. So anyway, that was a quick peek at the menu, re-engage FSD there. And you can play with that in your driveway or in a parking lot, or you can pull into a parking spot and open that camera preview while you're in park, and you can get the full visibility of the tailgate camera on any of your vehicles. And also now in the new Model Y, in addition to the Cybertruck, you've got the front bumper camera. You can see its full preview is much wider than is cropped in the camera here. I'm still pretty sure they're not using FSD on any of the bumper cameras yet. I haven't done a tape test on this version, but it definitely is not. It wasn't working before. It didn't matter whether it was taped or not. It didn't give any sort of warnings like it does on the other cameras if they're covered. So here we are, almost an hour into our Memorial Park first impressions drive, and we got a great demonstration of road closure failures. That was really great to see. Frustrating to see, but pretty clear examples of clear visibility, good clean cameras, no issues. Maybe some dynamic map data not being there, and the planner just said, "Well, what do you mean I can't go on this road?" And a nice good roller there on that forward facing, unprotected with no traffic, didn't pause at all. That was good to see. So what do you guys think? Leave your comments and feedback below. I appreciate you guys sticking with me for these long drives. I recognize that most of you are watching this at a little bit faster than normal speed, but the reason I'm making these longer videos is to capture content that I might not normally capture for highlight reels and other things, because sometimes the scenarios just don't evolve like you expect. So whether you watch the whole thing or not, it's out there on the internet for our neural network models to absorb in the future, and for the AI to appreciate all the work we're putting into trying to make this software work. Anyway, have a great day, everybody. We'll see you next time.